Lovely.
That was nice. Now
we decided to go with the music first and then introduce ourselves. You're listening to Chattitude Podcast with Laura Manny, Ty Kiki and Dominic
McHale. Cork's 96. Oh my God.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Only joking, lads. The one and only Cork's Red FM. Thanks for having us. Red Extra.
Guys, last time around, we were talking about God and all things religious.
I think I remember, Dominic.
But the time before that, we were talking about young love.
Young puppy love.
This time, that love has matured.
Ooh.
Elderly love.
The love of the elderly.
Have you ever glanced at a granny and thought, that's the baby cake for me?
We're talking the mature cheddar of love.
Oh, Kilmeade.
Are we talking about contemporary love then, is it?
I think we're talking about contemporary
modern
love.
Modern.
When was the first
love.
Time in your life, we'll say, Ty Kiki?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm going to start with a clanger for you.
You're a bitch.
When was the
You're a smelly old bitch.
And again, no.
You're a smelly klutz. Just go on, Sugar Cube.
Just so our listeners know, my personal hygiene is actually
top
good.
Notch.
Immense.
Thank
you.
You can smell you through it.
Embarrassing it is, actually.
Thank you.
Smell you through the earphones.
Tyke, you once had an issue with the amount of aftershave I was wearing, is that correct?
I felt it was too much. You got into the car at me one day and it crashed the bugger.
Can I just say that Tyke just placed his hand on my shoulder as if to silence me, and I feel like our listeners need to know that that just happened, okay?
No, you stupid bitch. What happened was I was rotating myself around and for would leverage be the word?
Yeah.
I grabbed you because I thought you were my good buddy to stop me from floating off into the abyss, and you've made a thing of it.
Would I be correct in saying that because we've just...
I'd like to apologise to Laura's parents for calling her a stupid bitch.
Because we've just come from recording a radio show where we felt a little bit restricted, now we're going wild to record
Loosey
our podcast.
Goosey.
We're like three demented pigeons.
In my defence, I had actually just put on the aftershave before I stepped into the car, so that's why it was so strong.
We covered all this in a previous podcast.
Did we actually?
We may have done.
Yes. Big time.
Why don't listen back to them, lads? I'm a future guy.
I made my husband listen back to the first one on the way to the airport the other
day. Did he chuck?
I think he fell asleep while I was driving.
Let's get down to brass tacks.
Yeah, come on.
Ty Kiki, at what age, and not mentioning any names, when was the first time you had a relationship where you were like, this is no longer a kind of a childhood fling type thing? What was the first
proper
relationship?
See, this is putting me in a tricky position.
Sorry, what are you having flings in your childhood for?
I had three flings when I was nine. Oh my God. but see if there's the off chance that anyone's listening in and then I say, oh, it wasn't until 19 or one, and I was going out with someone earlier, they'd be like, what a prick.
All right, be abstract then.
But sorry, okay, you broke
I
up
was
with
a
them
goat
all.
Right.
Okay.
I know.
How would you identify a proper relationship?
I identify as a man nearly all the time. No. Okay. So the first meaningful relationship where my tummy was in knots, is it? Is that
yes,
what you're kind of
yes,
going for?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I'd say my first, yeah, there was a girl from, oh, do you remember, to go back to a previous podcast, do you remember the time that there was a bunch of girls trun into Spreadneve for a big Irish week?
Oh, I do,
And you were banging your heads
and
off the wall.
There was me and five Gael Gores, how I got it, and how they wondered every day how I got into it.
Ty, could you continue this in Irish, please, for us?
I will. So, on Sin Hánig Mé, I know. So, during that week, I hooked up with a girl, and she would be probably my first proper girlfriend, I'd say.
Okay. Mm. Interesting.
And by girlfriend, I mean we used to meet up occasionally, go to the cinema together, and kiss each other's mouths.
Did you hold hands?
I held my own hand nearly the whole way through.
Did you sit in, you know, in the old Capitol cinema, there used to be a double seater. Did you
got
sit
a toots.
In that?
You got a toots. Yeah. I used to play matches for Casement Celtic. Very rough team from Balfihan.
Big shout out to Casement Celtic.
I was like their kind of token posh lad, like relatively. And I was a scumbag then when I was playing with other teams. But but I would go play my match, come home, have a shower, go in town and meet my old lad. That was me at 16.
Nice.
Until one day.
That same friend told you that she wasn't around anymore.
No. Well, I went in town and it was after the match and she was like, oh, just don't know, like, I don't know, is it kind of working out or whatever?
Oh,
like,
no.
You know, yeah.
Oh, a dear
and
John.
At that point, I was kind of going, oh, this is definitely working out. I wasn't sure about it at all at the start.
Oh.
And you know what it was? I didn't get to, this sounds very pretentious now, but I didn't get to be myself with her. I was playing the role of a 16-year-old boy in a relationship. Do you know what I mean?
100% understand that,
yeah. I never cracked a joke. I was keeping Tyke in and it was so sad.
And you got to let the tiger
and
out.
All jokes aside, when that relationship finished, I decided two things. One, I will never be dumped again. I swear to God, that's what went through my little arrogant little head. And also, be yourself, buddy. A slightly more fruitful, useful one. Be yourself.
I would say that the majority, even up to relatively recently, the majority of my relationships have been characterized by me saying what I think the other person wants to hear.
Yes.
Primarily. Yeah.
Being afraid of, like, well, obviously you can't kind of give them the bare truth of the matter. It has to be, what do I think they want to hear in this scenario? I think that's a terrible idea.
It is.
It's not a recipe for success.
I think,
Lorsey,
as a 16-year-old as well, you definitely are emulating something that you saw on telly. I would totally, totally agree with, like, when I was going out with someone when I was 16, my beloved first boyfriend, that I was
big
very much
John Murphy.
All right, Smurf.
I was very much playing the part of girl in a relationship. I would even, and this is in keeping with me being an angel and a princess, I was even playing the role of girl who someone fancies, and I was kind of living up to that notion of, like, oh God, he fancies me now, so I must be kind of fanciable. Do you know what I mean?
And what were you doing in accordance with that belief?
Oh, not being myself, really. Not kind of, you know, as you say, holding in the kind of zany, or holding in the, I suppose,
the me, like.
It's back to the thing, if you don't fully know yourself at 16, and even though I probably did know myself more than most, I didn't know myself in a relationship. And I still kind of even was like going, am I in a relationship? Because you'd obviously be aware of, like, what elements would require a relationship. And sure, we were just holding hands and going to the cinema walking around town.
To be honest, I think at 16, there's nothing to know. Like, or there's no you to know, because it's not formed yet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
At 16, you're just a mess of, well, I could be this and I could be that, and I'm not
That's
sure about this.
That's a very good point,
so
actually.
It's not that, like, your character is formed and you just don't know it. It's like, well, it's still malleable.
I remember
at that
being so caught up in the kind of paraphernalia of being a 16-year-old on a date. Do you know what I'm like?
Yeah.
Am I putting on too much links? Is this a shirt? Is this a t-shirt? Like, what's appropriate? Is a shirt too
Do
much?
We share a popcorn at the cinema? Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
When you say dating at 16, are these actual, like, proper dates? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I went on dates,
yeah.
At 16?
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. Wow. Oh, well, I was going to the cinema regularly at 16.
Cinema, walking around town. I even believe I went for coffee with this chap.
From 16 to about 18, I was going to the cinema probably every week.
You know, so many movies.
Do you know?
Guys, I'm very aware that we were meant to be talking about older, later love.
Yes.
This is still, we're still stuck in our young loves.
No.
Right now we're transitioning.
I think we're up to the teenage years.
Right now we're transitioning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right now we're in transition year, Laura. And if we eventually get our exams, we'll move into fifth year when we're good and ready. All right, girl?
Well, I think I must have been a late bloomer then, because I think the first proper date I went on wasn't until about 19 years of age.
Oh, no.
We need to define the terms.
Oh, totally.
What are you talking about when you think date then?
You didn't go to the cinema until you were 19.
No.
Do you want a DVD, do you?
I'd love a DVD. I don't think I've ever, like, arranged to go somewhere, to go to the cinema or to go get some food or do whatever it is that people do on dates with a girl up until about 19 years
now,
of age.
Food was always a bit of a panic.
Yeah.
Like, food was a big deal. I never went for, like, a meal or anything. Or if we were
McDonald's.
Having... Yeah, like, if we were having lunch, I was like, oh my God, if I get soup now, I'll spill it all down myself, or maybe I won't eat anything, so he thinks that I'm super skinny, even though I'm going to go home and eat 7 chocolate bars.
Although I went to the pub with a girl when I was 16.
Oh no, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't go to any pubs.
Oh, there's nothing to be ashamed of from what I did.
No, I wouldn't have been allowed in.
Well, it was me and about 4 lads in the class had, like, a bit of bum fluffy facial hair, so we were straight into the Phoenix. Like.
But that's not a date then.
I know it is. Like, I arranged to meet the girl at a certain time.
With 4 of your friends.
No. I'm just saying 4 of us emerged into the pub scene. We weren't all together. We didn't put our bum fluffs together and go out for the day.
We didn't combine our
heads to make one full beard.
Hey, Julie, would you like to meet me and 3 of my buddies in the Phoenix?
But that is a thing as well, kind of meeting in gangs, having, like, gangs of, like, I'm on a date, but I have my safety gang. But me and John dated.
John Murphy.
Would you ever leave John alone for 10 minutes?
Lovely.
Well then, no, I don't think I ever did that until I was about 19 years of age.
Wow.
Those creepers.
Yeah. And on the topic of, like, going for dinner, I don't think, generally speaking, Irish people do that on a date.
Yeah.
Like, I've never gone for dinner with someone on a first date. I think that's
way
too...
Oh, not on a first date.
Yeah. That's actually what I think is strange about the show First Dates. like okay. the Irish edition of it. I would just never buy that you'd go for a 3-course meal with someone the first date when you're conscious of stuff going up your nose and stuff when you're trying to eat.
Is it not incredibly weird that a lot of first dates are cinema, which is a scenario where you don't get to know anything about the other person. You're just sitting next to someone essentially watching a big telly.
I think that's why it's so popular in Ireland though.
Because you don't have to talk to them.
You don't want
to talk. Just maul them down the back.
Oh jeez.
Touched her leg half as true Sylvester Stallone movie.
I remember on my second date with my now husband, sorry to jump ahead, we went to see The Exorcism of Emily Rose in the cinema, and I was like making my hand very available for holding. I was kind of like resting it on the arm rest, kind of lifting it up,
putting it
near my popcorn. Nah, he was engrossed in the film, didn't even take me out.
Great film though. Great
very
film.
Very scary. I could have done with somebody.
To grab Emily Rose's hand, I'd say.
Oh dear. Have you ever been on a bad date, Tadhg Kicki?
Oh my God, to me again with the toughie.
Well, Laura's just been talking about trying to capture Shane's hand.
Bad date. Oh, I see. I wouldn't have really gone on many dates. Then in later life, you know, you'd organically hook up with somebody. Oh, I suppose I would have gone on dates after we've hooked up. But you mean a first date?
After we've hooked up.
Eat together, lads.
Yeah, I always go on a load of dates when you and I hook up just to get you out of my head.
It does make me jealous, I have to say.
A bad first date. Oh,
not just a bad, not just a bad first date.
Oh, I've had horrendous dates. How would I be 2-3 years into a relationship with somebody and I'd be having stinkers?
But hang on a second then. Can we go back to our definitions then? Is it still a date if it's 3 years into a relationship? I don't think it's a date.
I'm going to ring all my exes.
I think though,
I'm going to create a WhatsApp group with all my exes.
You'd have date night. So like it probably is. If you're living together, it's probably not.
Okay.
That's just tricky. Me and Shane would still go on a date every now and again.
So you've been on, you were in Iceland together there, you were on dates.
Five
there.
Dates.
But is that a date? Is that just not a holiday together as a couple?
I think we're splitting hairs, guys. I still think you'd make a special effort on a date. So if me and Shane were going to have a date night now, I'd put on the glad rags and I'd put on the makeup, put on the high shoes, and out we'd go and we'd have a lovely time. And poor Shane'd have to drive home because I'm having the Prosecco.
The sad rags.
I suppose one thing that I've wrestled with.
You wrestle with your dates?
I wrestle with my dates.
Do you always bring your dates?
We tend to go to. We go to Neptune Stadium and we watch Cork Community Wrestling. What's it called?
Keep going.
Big shout out to the lads.
Stop it. They love us.
Sure, we're not criticising it.
I know, yeah, but you could do a big sneery, laughy heads in
here. Not at all.
Go on.
Your sneer is my real.
I wrestle with the idea of like, you know, if it's a relationship that's kind of built to last and if it's going places, does it necessarily have to change? Do you have to do something to keep it interesting? Or is it just like, do you know what? This person's great. I don't need to do anything.
What a lovely philosophical question. Mm.
I think I think if it's a relationship that's going somewhere, life kind of comes in and forces the change. That sounds like I'm going through.
Are you going through the change?
But you know what I mean? Like, as in, if you move in together, then that you possibly have to make more of an effort to actually go out. And if you get married, then, and if you have babies or whatever, the babies kind of dictate the plan there. And you definitely have to make more of an effort to keep it alive.
Can I jump in?
Please.
Jump in.
And can I say at this point that I need to commend you, Ty, for you've got your shoes still on. Because normally at this stage, you've got your socks out. They're up on the table.
But do you not find that he's sitting in a weird way?
Well, I'm sitting like the Buddha.
But okay. very high up.
I'm trying to get through a full podcast with my booties on.
Jump in, then.
Boots.
I was just going to say that I think what Laura's touching on there is what I was also going to say, which is compromise. I think compromise, and certainly as I get older, without real healthy compromise in a relationship, you're in no man's land. And I think I definitely, in my early relationships particularly, I was probably unable to compromise. I found that if somebody was asking me to bend in any way, they're having a go. But you know what I mean? If they're saying, oh, maybe Tadhg, I prefer if you didn't go out now drinking for 10 days in a row. I was like,
and you're like, listen, love, that's unacceptable.
You're not
I
letting
can't.
Me live my life.
No.
Where's compromise? And I think it's the same in friendship.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
Like, I think a real friendship is only real when you've had those moments of having to compromise.
Yes.
Have you ever been subjected to kind of a parasitic friendship where, and by that I mean, you meet with somebody, they drain you. Mm. And you energise them.
I have several of them on the go at the moment.
I'm actually looking to get into a few if anyone's listening.
Well, listeners, if any of you are parasitic in terms of energy draining, Tadhg would like to meet you. Our text number is. But it's like you meet up with this person and they could be a long-term friend, whatever it is, you've known them for years, but you come away from it going, I'm absolutely exhausted by that interaction.
Can I challenge you just because I've been challenged on it recently and
go
it's pertinent. The fault is with you there.
The fault is in our stars.
The fault is with you because you need to somehow, and it's not easy, Do not get me wrong, it's not easy, but you need to somehow communicate that that's not acceptable, that that's not actually a friendship.
Without just flatly saying, you drain me.
No, because again, something I used to do with people like that before when I was much younger now, I just start ignoring them.
Okay.
So a guy that I would have talked to yesterday, I now see him in town.
Hey, Tyke.
I can't deal with it. And but that was wrong.
But I do think as well, as you get older, like, I don't have time for that now. I don't have time to be drained. So it's not that I would totally alienate the person, but I definitely think it's like, you get to a point where you don't, like, if I was 16, I'd have a big fight with that person and resolve it. Mm. But I think you get to an age then where I don't have the energy to have the fight. So I just kind of let it do its jobs, let the friendship do its jobs and hope that it goes okay. But I don't have the energy to say, hey, what the hell is going on here, and fight it out.
But you probably have communicated in your own way there. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that you need to go and like have a big row with someone, but you need to somehow like communicate with somebody that like actually it's not. Because I think if you're in a situation with somebody, unless now they have like, you know, serious kind of issues and they're in a particularly dark place and that's not always them. But if you're in a scenario with somebody where you're constantly getting drained and it's they don't even have time to ask you how you're getting on or whatever, that's not a friendship at all then. That's an unpaid counselling service, which is a different thing. You're actually not qualified to be that guy. Now, how we've got onto this from old love.
No, well, it's from compromise in a relationship.
I think so. Yeah, not true. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and I think compromise is very important. I'm going to talk about something that I have no knowledge about, and ye are both more experienced in this regard because ye both have kids. Correct. But like, how does having kids change a relationship? Because from somebody who doesn't have kids, I can only see it as it's going to put a massive strain on a relationship.
Well, I think that's a very negative way to view it.
Okay.
I think...
But he's entitled.
But you're entitled to your opinion.
But as I said, this is an uneducated
totally.
Opinion.
You're... I think your relationship definitely has to be rock solid before, certainly in my experience, before I introduced kids into the equation, because there is a moment and several of them throughout the early years of your children's lives where you're like, I want to kill you. This is my feelings now towards Boral Shane. I want to murder you in cold blood. Not at the moment. I don't feel like next
we're
away in Iceland.
To the stew.
But oh, she's sweet, but she's psycho. A little bit psycho.
Rude. But it's very hard because they're like, you're used.
It's very hard being a basket case.
You look back on that time you had together, that magical time where we were living together. We were able to get up on a Saturday morning and go, what coffee shop will we walk down to? I feel like we took it for granted at the time. Whereas now it's like, Shane, love, what kind of... And then, rah, rah, Polly has loads to say.
Shane,
Alfie's eating stuff off the ground.
I puke all over my clothes.
Just, yeah, I'm smelly, I'm gross. I said to him in Iceland, I was like, on our way to Iceland, I was like, I'm going to wear makeup every day. I'm going to have earrings on every day just because I'll have the time to do it. Did I do either of those things? No, because it turns out I'm just not that type. But your relationship has to be strong because it's not that they put a strain, it's that they temporarily take you away from your partner.
If you don't mind me asking them, what was the dynamic like without the kids then in Iceland?
Well, like, you find your way back to each other and you remember why you love the person and why you chose to have kids with them. That's what I think. But
that's
I think
lovely.
In the when we were having Alfie in particular, because we'd already had Polly, and when we were having Alfie, I remember lying in bed one night and Polly was asleep and I was heavily pregnant, and I just said, Shane, in the height of it, we have to hold on to our sense of humour. We have to hold on to each other. We have to hold on to being kind to each other, because if we don't, it's going to, not that it would pull us apart, but you're temporarily pulled apart.
Yeah.
Because you don't have, like, Shane comes home from work. If Polly and Alfie are still up, there's no chance for him to download his stories there. There's no chance for me to say anything to him. Sorry, download his stories. Sounds like he's on the internet. Like, tell me what happened during the day.
He's spending less time online. Like,
Alfie has a little USB port at the back of his head.
And his head is massive. But like, there's so, and then by the time the kids are asleep, it's 8:30 and we're both bleary eyed and the moment for any sort of meaningful human interaction is gone. So, but it's so short lived because I can see it now. Polly's 4 and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel with her. She's going to be easier to have as part of the gang. She's going to understand that she can't interrupt us all the time. Do you know, there is a light, but you have to remember why you love them. And sometimes that's why you need the break then.
I was going to say, you said it's a finite thing. It's temporary. It's only going to last as long as until Alfie reaches...
I think once he stops eating stuff off the floor, it would be a good kind of starting point.
Okay.
I came on leaps and bounds when I kicked that, I have to say.
And can I ask, when did you stop doing that?
I was 15, okay. I was 15. Okay. Go on.
I was also going to ask, like, from your experience, what do you think the keys are to a successful relationship? Like, what's the secret to longevity?
I'm going to make a bit of a confession here. Confession cam with Laura. Shane is my only relationship, really. He was my one and only.
Okay.
Yeah, but you still know how to have a successful relationship.
But I think...
Like, I'm after having a billion and you're obviously more successful than me.
Like, I went out with a few people when in my teenage years, and I met Shane when I was 20 and he was 27. And that was it. That was it. He was my one and only. But I think even though I'm a basket case, we do have amazing communication. When we did our pre-marriage course, there was a thing about like... kind of communication pyramid, and guys, we flip and top to the pyramid for communication.
Standing on the top.
Sometimes we're so good at communication, we might communicate something before it's even happened. So I'd be like, now, in 2 weeks' time, now Shane, I'm going to be very stressed, and this could happen, and we need to talk about this in advance. And he's like, well, maybe you won't be stressed, and I'm like, no, I am planning to be stressed in 2 weeks' time. But I think, I don't know, we love each other. That's it. I love him to bits. Even when I want to peel his skin off while I was breastfeeding with Polly and he was asleep, I wanted to peel off his skin and throw it in his face. And I didn't, because I love him.
Is it unconditional?
Oh, unconditional, unless he cheats on me, then I kill him in cold blood.
So it's not unconditional?
Well, unless he cheats on me, then I'd be a true crime podcast.
That's a condition.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
But sure, but you can't be loving someone that's cheating on you. You gotta love yourself, girl.
Hello, now a second. Oh, there's some very high profile ladies around history have done it. Stand by their man under any circumstances.
Oh, no. You don't be cheating on me now at all.
Oh, my God.
So,
I'm shocked at that.
What?
Like, what if
I'm not shocked at all. I mean,
a bit shocked.
Okay. But
I would cut off his willy.
I just want us to be clear that if somebody says, oh, I love my partner unconditionally, but if they do this, this or this, it's over and I kill them.
There's secret conditions in there. Say no myself and say I took Shane away for the weekend. We went to Luton, say, take a magic mushroom.
I wouldn't let him go.
We're on mushrooms for the weekend, right?
The minute I got wind of that trip, I'd be like, no.
Hear me out. And I off the gat and all. If he ended up now with, say, a 33-year-old Spanish girl just over there travelling, just travelling through the UK for an hour.
Good luck to you, buddy.
But he was off his...
What's her name?
Tracy. If he was off his trolley... And he came back to you, will you hear me out before you shout me down? He came back and said, baby, I love you so, so much. I was away in a crazy weekend with Tyke. I shouldn't have went anyway. I don't know what I was doing in Luton.
We took
psilocybin. It brought a part of me. I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea what I was doing. As soon as I did it, I was full of remorse. You're the only one for me. It has actually strengthened my faith in this relationship. It was a total one-off, total out of character. I love you so much. You're telling me under no...
Before you speak, Laura... Laura's face right now says, I'm getting the butcher knife and I'm chopping off his bits and bobs.
I would say good luck to you, because
he made a mad indiscretion.
He should love me enough that wouldn't even cross his mind when he's off his face on mushrooms with this weirdo friend of mine.
But now you're getting into interrogating his subconscious. Like, it's subconscious.
No, sorry now. Just to be clear for all the ladies out there listening to this podcast, you cheat on me, you're gone.
Ladies,
good
if you,
luck
if you
to
cheat on Laura, ladies, it's over.
Sorry, no, ladies,
sorry,
it's
no.
over.
No.
If you have any plans to cheat on Laura,
I'm
ladies,
sorry, no, a second. I will not have two men here going at me saying, oh, what about if it was this?
God.
Oh,
are
this part of my personality.
Are you teeing up the next podcast?
Blah.
Hang on a second. Laura, I'm not for a second saying that it's either right or wrong. I'm just saying that we need to bear in mind that you have now said that your unconditional love, it does have conditions.
Yeah, okay. A big one. Okay. A big clause that
How
says, cheat on me
dare you,
and I
actually
will feature on a true murder crime podcast about you.
How dare you, actually, say that we're ganging up on you. All I was doing was just putting Shane's case forward. He's back from Luton.
Do you realise now that I'm going to go home to poor Shane tonight and he's going to get killed? Because in my head, he has dream cheated on me. I'm like, Tyke says,
no,
you want to cheat on me?
In my thought experiment, he's going to get killed.
He's in for a world of pain now when I go home and speak to him about
and
he better
God,
not be.
Help him if Luton are playing a game at the weekend.
Tyke.
Dominic McHale.
Two people love each other, right?
It's you and me, is it?
Does that? It's you and me. There's a lot of love there.
I cheated on you a lot of times, buddy.
Okay. Ganging up on me again.
No,
the two bloody buddies.
I'm just interested to hear your thoughts on this, right? Two people love each other.
Okay.
Are they still going to be attracted to other people?
Always.
Oh, that's different.
Always.
Go on.
That's human nature. And I think if you're the person who's getting preoccupied with someone else's attraction, it's coming from a place of lack of security in yourself.
You can always identify that somebody else is good looking, or even personality wise. Like, there's lots of people that I click with.
I'm not just talking about good looking though, because I mean, I like to divide between, we'll say, being
Slavs,
Slavs, Koreans.
Go on, sorry, Dom.
Being beautiful, being attractive, and being
sexy.
I think they're very different things. I could give you an example of each.
Give me names. Give me names. Please don't. No.
Oh, celebs.
Like celebs.
Yeah.
Keira Knightley, for example. I think she's quite beautiful. I don't think she's very attractive, and I don't find her sexy.
I don't think she's anything. But that's just me.
Okay.
One.
But then we'd have radically different tastes.
We've discussed this at length, and we really do. But it's like, can you comfortably say to your partner, "I find that person attractive"?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
By attractive, I mean, you feel drawn to them. Like, it's not just that person's beautiful. It's like, I'm attracted to you.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you can. Now, they wouldn't want to be like your next door neighbour that regularly comes to your house on a Friday night.
No, celebs. He's on about door, yeah?
Well, celebs, of course.
No, you're on about someone
celebs.
Up the road.
I'm on about Jim up the road, who is actually very attractive.
Well, I'd be a bit on Laura's side of the street there now, where I would probably do without them going on and on about it, saying, "Geez, I saw Jim again. Like, wow, he is looking terrific."
Every day.
Yeah, like, as in, I'm sure you can acknowledge maybe once that, God, that guy's actually lovely, or I really get on with him.
But would you say attractive? Like, could you say to your partner, "Jesus Christ, Jim came over there the other day and he put up the shelves in the back, and my God, he's an attractive man."
But I don't know why you'd want to say that unless you're trying to hurt your partner.
Well, can I jump
but
in?
But is it better to keep it secret then, that you're feeling these
have
attractions?
Have your secret thoughts, imagine them while you're riding him later on that night.
No, I think if it's coming from, okay, I can think of one person. No, I can't go into any detail, really.
No.
Oh, sugar.
But
let's just call him Jim,
right? No, but like, if it's coming from a place of, like, somebody could easily say, I've definitely been with people that would say, "Geez, your man is fierce handsome, isn't he?" And I know it's coming from a place from that particular young lady where it's almost like an aesthetic announcement.
It's quite objective.
And that's fine.
Yeah,
it's objective.
Yeah, that's
I've
fine.
Also been with somebody where a comment like that would be dropped, and it's to let me know that my behaviour recently has been unacceptable.
And you that need to put yourself in check,
she is an attractive lady, and she's fancying people, they're probably fancying her. You know, it's a kind of a tactical move, and I think those two things are radically different then.
I agree.
I've also been in a scenario where I have had my other half go, "Do you think she's attractive?"
That's a trap.
Don't play that. That's Connect Four.
And I think the best response to that is, I don't answer questions like that.
Well, can I just say me and Shane, if you asked us, I know the name he would say, and he knows the name I would say, of two human beings that the other one's not allowed to be attracted
to. Are you allowed to say any of them?
I don't think so.
Are they within a circle of friends?
No, it's not that you're not allowed to be attracted to them. There's somebody that I would have held a candle for years.
John Murphy.
And I'd say Shane would be like, maybe don't mention him. And there's a girl that was very flirty with Shane in front of me, and I'm like, no, I'm okay for her.
Well, that raises an interesting topic, which is, like, if there's a girl who's very if there's a girl who's very flirty with Shane, how does he have to respond in that scenario for you to be happy?
Oh, like, Shane is a very normal, nice, friendly chap. So she could be
like
flirting away.
Shane, your head's going in it.
She could be flirting away. He's probably just going to talk.
Sorry, Laura.
I'd wee on him like a dog, and she'd know to head off.
Mark your territory. He's got a jellyfish sting.
Big fan of that
guy. He's got a jellyfish sting.
He's got a jellyfish.
Tig.
Oh, buddy.
How do you deal with that? If you become aware that somebody, if you're in a relationship and you become aware that somebody is flirting with you in front of your, either in front of your partner or not in front of your partner.
It depends where I am in my life.
Okay.
So if I'm in a place where I have been, where I need that, and I need the other, it's insecurity. I've been so insecure before that, like, the flirting comes in, I'm amplifying it. I'm like, "Could you raise your voice? Could you flirt with me a bit louder?" So she'll see it and she'll go, "Wow, other people find him attractive.
He's a catch.
I've lost touch in that. I better be more careful with him." In relationships I've had, and one comes to mind where it's more healthy and it's been a real healthy relationship, I would try and dampen it down, because I'm just like, I don't need, like, it's not like people are flirting with me like 24/7 either. But on occasion,
Tig, you're underselling it, buddy.
They're like, "Thanks, buddy." It would be, if I'm secure myself, I'd be just like, well, there's no reason that this person needs to experience anything with this. I can casually and confidently deal with this scenario without them being part of it at all.
Laura, do you think that the defence, "Oh, I didn't know they were flirting with me," do you think that's legitimate? Or do you think everybody deep down knows when the other person's flirting?
To be honest, I would say that sometimes people don't know they're being flirted
with.
Yeah,
I'd agree with
that. Genuinely. Like,
especially lads, I think.
And as well, like, you know, I could be chatting to someone and I'm genuinely just chatting, and they might think I'm flirting with them, but like, I wouldn't consider myself to be a flirtatious person. If I flirted with someone, it was by accident. So like, I don't think that I genuinely do think I didn't know she was flirting with me. I think that's genuine.
Like, I'm accidentally flirting with people pretty much every day of the week, like, do you know?
I think one thing that you need to be careful of as well is, particularly if it's,
I need to be careful, you won't tell me what I'm careful of, by
something that one needs to be careful of. This concept
it's
of
Iceland,
like
Iceland maybe
professional flirting, if you know what I mean. Like, if you're in a restaurant or a bar or whatever it is, and you're like, oh, that the waiting staff or whoever it is, that person's being really flirtatious with me. You kind of got to wonder, are they doing this because it's part of their job description, or it's helping them to get more tips or whatever it is?
Oh, I never spend any time thinking about
that. You don't worry
about that. I'm just like, hurry up and get me dinner there, will you?
Okay.
But I would flirt my little bottom off to get whatever painting I needed done at home.
Interesting. So tactical flirting, Laura.
Over, well, not, I'm not actually not a specific painter, but in general,
just call him William Davison.
No.
Bottom gone.
I notice people that use people's first names a lot. Sometimes I'm a bit like, is that a flirting tactic? You know, that I'd be like, now, Dominic, that's a lovely jumper that you have on, Dominic. And, you know, I remember your name, so I'm going to keep using it. It's kind of a flirty thing.
I tend to gaze at people's bottoms when I'm flirting.
So it's kind of a rear action flirtation.
A rear gazer.
Well, I've been in scenarios where I've had a great conversation with a girl, and like, the humour's been flying back and forth, and I thought that's a fantastic interaction. And then I've come away from it and someone has gone, wow, you were being really flirtatious with them.
You're a chatty, fun guy, though. I think they could easily
guys,
mistake
I'm a chatty,
that.
Fun guy.
You should check out Chattitude, actually.
Check out Chattitude.
He's a chatty, fun
guy. Just a slight tangent, actually. Two or three people recently have said that to me, listening to these things, that our voices are not getting sound alike. They don't know who's talking at which time.
Wow.
Which absolutely blows my socks off.
Hey, Laura.
Because you sound to me like a posh lad, and I sound like an absolute gurrier being gone. Gotten out of a pub at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I think you're posher than you think you are.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I would have to agree with Dominic on that.
Serious?
Yeah. I think you think you're way like scummier than you are.
Are you scummier than you think you are, though, by
no,
any chance?
No,
Dom is well aware of his posh level.
Posh I am.
Really?
But like, you think you're Roy Keane, like.
So now you're calling Roy Keane a scumbag. I wouldn't have done that, man.
Oh, I never said he was a scumbag. I just said you think you're Roy Keane.
But by association, from A leading to B to C.
You so can draw your own conclusions.
Well,
Tyke.
I think he will. And if I know,
he's
like,
he's a big listener.
You're logged, and 6 years later, he'll track you down and break your leg.
The ball was there, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Often in relationships that are kind of built to last, shall we say, the guy tends to be a bit older than the woman.
Shinamani is 7 years older than me.
Precisely.
Really?
Yeah. Why do you think that's the case, Laura?
Well, people would say that it's because boys mature later than girls. I don't know. I think that girls are maybe ready to find the one, we'll say, a bit earlier. And I mean, obviously the old clock would be ticking as well, but like, it wasn't ticking for me when I was 20. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
So I should be looking for a younger woman, is it?
Oh, only if you want the babies.
All right.
Only if you want the babas.
I think statistically speaking, on average, it's about 2.3 years, I think.
Yeah. Is that actually true? I didn't know
2.3 years, because I read an article recently and it shows a curve of the ages that females find attractive as they age.
Yeah.
And it's roughly about 2.3 years older.
Well, can I say...
Can I just finish on this, right? They then showed the male graph, and unfortunately it's like males at 20 years of age fancy 21-year-old girls. Males at 21 years of age fancy 21-year-old girls. Males at 22. So 22 through about 45, it's a straight line. It's 21-year-old girls.
I don't really.
Don't fancy 21-year-old girls?
Not really, no.
Can I say that?
Maybe this is more to do with physical attraction, perhaps, than personality. Because, for example, I don't, like, right now, if I was a single man, I couldn't go out with a 21-year-old girl. Like, in terms of maturity, unless they're ridiculously mature for their age.
Okay.
You know? And I would actually rule out 90 plus as well.
Oh, yeah, you're
too mature.
It's cheddar cheese then at that stage.
I've noticed as I've gotten older that I have...
Not physically, lads. Not physically.
Oh, my God. I can judge my taste by the lineup of the Australian children's performers, the Wiggles. There's a young guy called Lockie. There's an old guy.
Hi, Lockie.
There's an old guy who's 57 called Anthony, and he is right up my street.
Hi, Tony.
So that's how I gauge my interest now, because he's attractive because he's older. But I think men probably age a bit better than women.
Interesting.
controversial claim, but I'd probably have
to
agree
with it. Well, I think it's this is...
That's because we've been through the wars. We've been pushing children out for our bodies are well used. Our boobs are dragging along the floor. Aren't you lucky to have us?
I think age helps men's attractiveness, but unfortunately can deteriorate women's attractiveness because...
That's going to go down a storm.
I'm better looking now than I was when you met me first, am I?
Based on,
am I?
Based on, I'm not,
I love one that ends with am I.
I don't answer questions like that.
Because wrapping up,
and
I'd
it's,
say, yeah?
We are absolutely. I think it's due to potentially the shallowness of male attraction. Is it? Do you think it's fair to say that men are more preoccupied with physical attraction than women are?
Of course, men are generally shallower.
So, as a man gets older, the things that are more attractive to a woman increase. I think confidence, prestige, a sense of who they are, they're comfortable in their own skin, all of these things. Whereas if a guy is more preoccupied with physical attraction, obviously that's not going to get better as you age, generally speaking.
Well, I'm going to be unreal when I'm 80.
Okay.
I think it's about emotional connection. And on that, I would like to say that Shane knows well that if, God forbid, anything ever happened to
me... You're chopping off his bits and bobs.
If anything ever happened to me, he's not allowed to find love.
Is that your sum again? Up? What's your love sum up before we conclude?
My love sum up is that Shane was my one and only and I love him. But he's not allowed to find love.
I'd like to make a confession for my
sum up. I love it.
Going forward, I need to work on the way I was in relationships when I was young. Well, much younger now. I've probably got better as I've gone on. But I'd love to get to the stage in love where I would be, the tactics would be gone. I suppose like that's probably like an ambition kind of thing. But looking back, and I do regret an awful lot of like the amount of time you'd waste like trying to get somebody to feel a certain way about you or the opposite or... I'd like to cut the tactics going forward.
And I'll finish
in the love
with
game.
A tonic to that. Or not a tonic, in fact, but
soda
something.
Water?
No.
Gin?
A rebuttal. I fear that game playing is inevitable. Because part of the way that people protect themselves in the initial phases of a romantic pursuit is by playing games to kind of go, well, if I show up on the first date and go, oh my God, you're the woman of my dreams, it's done. The other person's going to be like, this person is crazy.
I agree with that, but when you get past that first couple of dates, that you would get comfortable enough to go, here's how I am.
You have to unleash the basket case eventually.
Laura Manny gave me a great expression, and we'll finish on this. She calls it hiding the crazy.
Thanks for listening, guys.